What an awesome congregation here on this Sunday morning. Everybody looks nice, and it's a great crowd, and God's blessings is upon this church. How many of you glad to be a part of a great church? Amen. Amen. This is a great church because there's great people in this church. Amen. Amen. It's a pleasure and honor always for us to be able to be with you in service, and I honor this church. I honor all the excellent leaders and ministry of this church, and the music and praise team has done awesome today. Incredible. Amen. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Amen. That's my church. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it's a pleasure to be with you again. I want to say how much I appreciate your pastor and his wife and their family. Not only the impact they've made upon us, but their what they mean to the kingdom of God. And this church is blessed to have Brother and Sister Thompson and their family, and you know that. And it can't be overstated. The decision they made many years ago to come to Jacksonville area and plant a church here and leaving security and home and friends and family and coming to where God sent them and to say, you know what, God wants us to put a church right here in Orange Park. And I know many years have come by since then, but what God has done through them in this region, in this area, has been incredible, and it does take a rocket science to see God's favor on them and what he's doing through them. And so I honor them highly, and not only here in this church, but around our movement, so many people respect them and have high regard for them. And so I just want to add that, what a blessing they are to this area, to this church, and to this city. And you're blessed for that. Amen. God must think you're special to give you somebody that special. Hey, so God's thinking good about all of us. Praise God. Praise God. If you have your Bible today, I'd like to invite you to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. That gray wall looks awesome, doesn't it? Amen. They did an awesome job, whoever did that. I'm glad to see the water still here. And if there's anybody that needs to be baptized, I know it's already been said, but I'll just add to it. This church is always ready for that. And if you're here and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to do that before you leave today. Not because it's just a good deed, but it's a commandment in the Word of God for us. You know, we sing that song, Hell Lost Another One, I Am Free. Hell didn't lose another one because you clapped or ran around or jumped. Hell lost another one because you repented of your sins, you were baptized in Jesus' name, and you were filled with God's Spirit. That's how hell loses another one. Amen. So if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, all this is prepared for you, and that can happen for you today. Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible said, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. We thank God for his word. I want to talk to you for a few minutes here on this subject. God has plans for you. God has plans for you. Before we're seated, let's pray once more and ask God to continue to have his way here today. Can we pray together? Jesus, thank you again for your presence today. Thank you for the witness of your Spirit. God, thank you for all that is already accomplished in this place and what you are still going to do for us, through us. Pray, God, that you would fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Let somebody's sins be remitted and forgiven. God, let there be miracles and signs and wonders. Confirm your word today. Help me to speak your words of spirit and words of life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We got any planners here today? Anybody like to plan ahead? Amen. The rest of us just follow suit. The rest of us just hope it works out, right? Somebody told me a little while ago, actually it was another pastor, and he said, you know, Brother Cheryl, he said, we all make a lot of plans. And he said, some of them actually work out. Some of them actually work out. And that's really true, because obviously, just because you plan it doesn't mean it's always going to go to plan. With that being said, God's a planner also. And he has plans. He has plans for us. He has plans for your family. He has plans for this church. He's got plans for you individually. Do we always know God's plan? Certainly not. But even though we don't always know God's plan, doesn't mean he don't have one. And there are times that he obviously does leave us in the dark on things. But don't think just because you don't know it, that it doesn't exist. God's got a plan for you. Amen. Even in our humanity, in our limited scope of living, in the ministry God has called us to, evangelizing, obviously we travel extensively, and from where we live in North Alabama, if I could be a little transparent here, you know, in our travels, we've gone about every direction you can go from our home in North Alabama, north, south, east, and west, and we know the routes, we know the roads, and we know where to stop and where not to stop. We know the clean places, the not so clean places, there are people sometimes that are in my plans, and they have no idea. I've included them, but they have no clue they're in my plans. There's a clerk at a gas station somewhere that I know I'm going to see, but they don't know they're going to see me. There's a hotel attendant somewhere that they're just going through a normal day, and I know I'm going to stop by, but they have no clue I'm going to stop by. There's a waiter somewhere at a restaurant just taking care of people, and I know that I'm going to see them, but they don't know they're going to see me. And if I can make that happen in my limited humanity, how much more can God operate in that realm where you and I can be in his plan, but we are not even aware of what the plan may be? But God does plan, and he has included us in his plan. God's plan includes a lot of things and a lot of people. God's plan includes tied up colts. It includes donkeys. It includes random roosters. It includes men carrying pitchers of water. It includes women going to draw water. It includes changing family businesses from fishers of fish to fishers of men. His plan includes widows on welfare, lads with their lunch, wild preachers and educated apostles. It includes men hiding with low self-esteem. God's plan includes teenagers and children. It includes older men and women. God's plan includes the man in the ditch. It includes the man in the tree. It includes the man under the tree. God's plan includes the fowl of the air. It includes the fish of the sea. It includes the beast of the field. Even with that being said, God's got a plan for the devil. The devil don't like it, but God's already made plans where the devil's going to spend eternity, and that's in a bottomless pit. And if God's made plan for all these things and all these people and even the adversary, don't think that you are just living some aimless life, walking around with no purpose attached to your life. God has a plan for you. Even when you don't feel like you have any idea what's going on, and God seems a million miles from where you are, and you have no clue what tomorrow holds, I want to tell you this Sunday morning, God's got a plan for you, and God's got a purpose for you. Well, I don't know what's going on. God knows what's going on. I don't know what's happening. God knows what's happening. I don't know what tomorrow holds. God knows what tomorrow holds. God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
There were people in the Bible. You know, as humanity, we always want to know God's plan. And that's human nature. Tell us. Inquiring minds want to know. What you thinking about? What's your plan? What am I supposed to do? We all would love to have every day of our life lined out by God and just say, here's what you do. A, B, C. 1, 2, 3. Do this. We'd all love that. We all would love to take a peek into the future, or at least we think we would, and see what God is doing and what His plans may be. And we all seek and ask and desire, and it's natural. God, what are you doing? And what do you want me to do? Because somehow we think that if I knew more of what God's plan was, then I could perhaps do a better job of living for God and have more confidence and have more faith just knowing what He's doing. This is not a rare thing, and it certainly also happened in the Scriptures. Acts 1 and 8, the Bible said when they were come together, they asked Jesus and they said, and if I could paraphrase, they said, hey, Lord, what's the plan? They said, this is what the Bible said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Is this your plan? Are you going to get it started now? What's the time frame? When's the ball going to get rolling? Tell us what's happening. Jesus answered them and He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So they come to Jesus and they are asking, hey, what you doing? What's happening? What's the plan? What's going on? We want to know the plan. Tell us what's happening.
God doesn't always clue us in on what he's doing. He doesn't always tell us the plan. And even here, he said, it's not for you to know my plan. It's not for you to know my purpose. But here's what I can confirm. Even though you may not know my plan, I will tell you this much. You're in them. You are a part of them. You are included in them. And even though he may not tell us the whole plan, I think he wants me to tell you today that you're in his plan. You're a part of his plan. You're included in his plan. Somebody clap your hands and shout hallelujah. God ain't working a plan over here and saying, well, you're not in them. You're not a part of them. I may not tell you everything that I'm doing, but I will tell you in my divine mind, you are in the middle. You are included. You are a part of what I'm doing. You're a part of my plans. Hallelujah.
Perhaps they, like us, think sometimes, well, if I knew the plan, I just feel like I could be more or better or stronger. That reassurance, just knowing what you're doing, would somehow empower me to be more effective. Jesus said, no, that's not the way it works. When you're going to restore the kingdom, tell us the plan. He said, well, you're not going to know. He said, but just because you don't know my plan doesn't mean you're going to be without power. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're not going to get power when you know my plan. You're going to get power when you get the Spirit of God. And even though you may not know my plan, I'm not going to leave you powerless. I'm going to give you power to do what you need to do, even though you may not know the overall plan of God in your life. None of us really know what tomorrow holds, but I got the power to live through it, and I got the power to make it, and I got the power to live in victory. What's going to happen next week, I don't know, but I got the Holy Ghost. What's going to happen next month, I don't know, but I got the Holy Ghost. I've got power, even though I don't know God's plan. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord together. Come on, I want to preach to somebody right now. I don't know how it's going to unfold. I don't know how it's going to end up. But I got power. I got the Holy Ghost. I've got victory, even though I don't know God's plans altogether.
Amen. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
In the text that I brought to your attention. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
In this text I read to you, Hebrew people were in captivity here. You know this verse of scripture that I read? I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Over the last several years, that verse has kind of become famous to a degree. I mean, you see that at Walmart, you know. You go to these home goods stores, and that verse is plastered everywhere. Go buy graduation gifts. It's on everything. I know the thoughts I think toward you.
But when he wrote this, or when Jeremiah spoke this through the inspiration of the Lord, the Hebrew people were in Babylonian captivity. Everything wasn't going their way. Matter of fact, there have been some false prophets speak up. And they said, hey, got a word from God. We're only going to be here a couple of years and we're out of here. Jeremiah spoke up and said, not true. Don't listen to them. He said, they're dreaming. He said, here's the truth. Going to be about 70 years here. He said, but here's a word from the Lord. This is what God wants us to do. And he said, and these are the verses leading up to this text I read. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Don't build them to sell. Dwell in them. Live in them. I know this may be an undesired place, but don't stop living. You got to live in this house. Plant gardens, he said. Eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, begot sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase there and not diminish. I know that you're in Babylonian captivity. I know it's an undesired place, and you got questions in your mind, and you don't know how everything's going to turn out, and you're just kind of living there unsettled, and you don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do. Build you a house and live there. Plant you a garden and grow it and eat the fruit of it. Give your sons and wives and marry them and have grandchildren. Raise a family. Here's what I want you to do when you don't know what to do. I want you to live. I want you to grow. And I want you to increase where you are. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know how it's going to end up next month. Don't stop living. Don't stop growing. Don't stop increasing. It doesn't matter where you are. Come on, I want to tell that to somebody. You need to live where you are. You need to grow where you are. You need to increase where you are. Live, grow. Somebody shout live. Somebody shout grow. Somebody shout increase. Somebody shout live. Somebody shout grow. Somebody shout increase. The devil will tell you, you can't live where you are. You can't grow where you are. You can't increase where you are. But I got a word from God. It said live, grow, increase where I am. I got a word for the devil. I'm going to live. I'm going to grow. I'm going to increase in this undesired place. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. You think I'm going to throw in the towel? Never. You think I'm going to quit? Never. I'm here to live and grow and increase. Somebody shout yes. Oh, hallelujah. I think it'd be awesome. Somebody just lift your hands to the Lord. God say, Lord, I'm going to live right here. I'm going to grow right here. I'm going to increase right here. I'm not going to wilt. I'm not going to wither away. I'm going to grow and live and increase here. Hallelujah. And seek the peace. He said, and seek the peace in the next verse of the city where I've caused you to be carried away, and pray unto the Lord for it. Now listen to this verse, because this is interesting to me. He said, I know you're in Babylonian captivity. It's an undesired place. You don't want to be there, but live, grow, and increase. And pray for the city that I have caused you to come to. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof, ye shall have peace.
Let me tell you what the New Living Translation says in that same verse. And work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I've sent you. And pray to the Lord for it. For its welfare will determine your welfare. If you don't invest in where you are going to diminish, you're going to wither, and you're going to dry up, and you're not going to become what God wants you to become. I don't care where you are, you got to invest in where you are. Somebody give me a mule and a hoe, and somebody give me a shovel, and I'm going to dig a hole. I'm going to plant a garden. Somebody give me a hammer and a nail. I'm going to build a house. I'm going to grow a family. I'm going to invest in where I am, because my welfare is depending on the work that I put in to where I am. What's it saying? It's saying make the best of where you are. Make the best of where you are. Your welfare depends upon that. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. When the church is blessed, you're going to be blessed. When the church grows, you're going to grow. When the church has revival, you're going to have revival. Invest in this place. Build in this place. Grow in this place. Your welfare depends on this. Hallelujah. I hasten here today. Make the place you're in better. Because when you do that, it's going to make you better. Tearing the place down is not going to build you up. Build the place up, and you will be built up in the process. Invest in this place, he's saying. It's an undesired place. I know you really don't want to be here, but invest in this place. Then he turns around, and this is the verse we come to. For I know the thoughts I think toward you. In other words, he's saying, when he says, I know the thoughts, when you kind of read between the lines, he's like, you don't know the thoughts. That's kind of what he's saying too. I know the thoughts that I have to you. You don't, but I know the thoughts I have toward you. And listen to this. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Sometimes when we get in an undesired place, the devil uses the place we're in to try to make us think God's thinking bad toward us. God said, it's not so. I know you're in Babylonian captivity, but that don't mean I got it out for you. That don't mean I'm trying to show you what for. Do you in? Beat you up? Don't let where you are represent how you think I think toward you. The thoughts I have to you, I know you're in Babylonian captivity, but my thoughts I think toward you are good, not evil, not disastrous, but good, to give you an expected end. I've been preaching 23 minutes. And I'm going to be done by 4 o'clock, I promise. I promise. Way before then. But, you know, this, I'm off the cuff here now. But you think about Job, when Job went through his trial. And if I've said this before here, forgive me for being redundant, but it just comes to mind.
When Job went through his trial, you know, he lost his family, he lost his children, he lost his health, he lost all the possessions. He was one of the richest men in the world, and he lost it all. But before this had happened, and during this process, Satan was appearing before God. And Job is going through one of the toughest times anybody could ever go through. And one might think, you ought to just curse God and the guy, because your God must not love you no more. He don't care about you. Look at what you're dealing with. Sometimes we can let what we're going through interpret what we think God's thinking about us. That makes sense? But when you heard the thoughts of God expressed towards Satan concerning Job, they were totally different than what Job was going through. Job was going through one of the toughest times anybody could go through, but here's what God said to him, to the devil, concerning Job. Ain't nobody like him. That's what he said. He said he's the greatest man in all the earth. He fears God. He resists evil. I've got more confidence in him than anybody. But down there, because Job didn't hear that conversation. Don't you think that'd be an encouragement to Job if he heard that conversation? You said that about me? Well, I can make it through anything. If I'd have known what you're thinking, I could have made it. But you may not know God's plan, but he's going to give you power to get through it. Don't let what you're going through, let the devil cause you to interpret God's thoughts toward you. God said, I'm not thinking bad towards you. I'm thinking good towards you. Not for disaster, but to give you an expected end. You know, the same exact thing happened with John the Baptist when John was in prison, and they sent his servants to Jesus, and they said, would you ask Jesus, is he the one to come, or we look for somebody else? John's in prison. Obviously, he's dealing with questions and probably discouragement. Did we get it right? Did we get mixed up here? Look at where I'm at. I've been preaching, prepare you the way of the Lord, and I'm in prison. And John's servants went and asked the Lord. He said, John's in prison, but he wants to ask you, are you the one we're looking for, or do we need to look for somebody else? Jesus healed some people and said, go tell John things you've seen and heard. And the Bible said, after John's servants departed, he turned around to the people that was left. He said, now I want to tell you what I really think about John. They were gone. He should have said that when they were still there so they could have carried that with him. But once they left, he said, now I can talk freely about John. Ain't no prophet like him. He's one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. He ain't going to hear me say that. He's going to have to trust me with this. But just because he's in prison don't mean I'm thinking bad things toward him. Just because he's going through a tough time doesn't mean I got it out for him. He's at the top of my list. And I want to tell somebody here, you may be going through something, but you're at the top of God's list. You're at the top of God's list. God's thinking good things toward you. To give you an expected end. They were in this Babylonian captivity. And God said, I know the thoughts I have. You don't know them. They're beyond you. They're above you. You don't know them. But I know the thoughts that I have toward you. When you don't know his plan, you have to trust his person. That I may not know him, but I'm in him. I'm in God's plan. God's got a plan for me. Here's what Isaiah said, and I am coming to a close here. Musicians could come. Isaiah said, the word of the Lord speaking through him, God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. There's another one of them phrases that you're going to have to look at the other side. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. In other words, it's not just saying we think different.
But it's the tone that's referenced there. And what it's highlighting is not just different, but the magnitude of difference. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We don't think on the same level. We don't think on the same plane. My thinking is way above your thinking. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Then he has to kind of describe it. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. My ways are way above your ways. My thoughts are way above your thoughts. My plans are way above your plans. And you need to trust my plan over your plan, and my way over your way. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, and this may be one of the more familiar translations here. Again, the New Living Translation says, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. I know them. I got a plan for you, saith the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Anybody ever read that version before? I know the plans I have for you. God is saying, I got a plan for you. And my plan is to give you a future. You know what the devil's trying to do? The devil's trying to steal your future. The devil's trying to rob you of your future. Satan's got a plan also. And his plan is to destroy your future and every good thing that God has put in it. But God's got a plan too. And it's not for destruction. It's not for disaster. My plan, God said, is to give you a future. To give you a future and to give you a hope. And if there's anybody here, you don't think you have a future, I come to tell you the devil is a liar. You've got a future in Jesus Christ. Somebody help me now. I'm done preaching. But I want to tell somebody in closing, I don't care what you've done. I don't care the mistakes you made. I don't care the faults and the failures. I don't care the regret. You got a future in Jesus. You got a future in Jesus. Anybody believe what I'm preaching today? Everybody's got a future in Jesus. Everybody's got a future in Jesus. Every child's got a future. Every teenager's got a future. Every mom and dad's got a future. You've got a future in Jesus. God's got a plan for you. Somebody shout yes. Would you stand and clap your hands to the Lord one more time, somebody? It's not over. You're not finished. You got a future in Jesus Christ. God's got a plan. God's got a plan for you. Brother Shell, I don't know. I thought my future was gone. I thought my future was done. When the Lord showed up to Moses, he was 80 years old. He only had 40 years left. You know, the Bible spends about 20-something verses on the first 80 years of Moses' life. Because he ran away from Egypt. He killed an Egyptian, ran away, lives with a shepherd for 40 years. Backs out of the desert thinking, I ain't got no future. I had a future. I was going to be in line for to be a Pharaoh, but boy, I had a future, but I messed that future up. My future now is buried in my past. And I ain't got a future. 20-something verses gets Moses to 80 years till God shows up at that burning bush. He said, you always got a future in Jesus. You always got a future through God. And the next four books of the Bible I wrote about Moses. He thought his future was behind him. God said, your future ain't behind you. Your future's in front of you. And that's what God is wanting somebody here to know today. You got a future in Jesus Christ. Every teenager, every mom and dad, every family, every child, you've got a future in Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've committed. I don't care the regret. I don't care the mistakes. God said, I'm not thinking bad things toward you. I'm not thinking bad thoughts toward you. I got a future for you. I got a plan for you. Not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. But all of us have to give ourselves to God and submit to the plan of God. Say, God, here I am. If you got a plan for me, if you got a future for me, Jesus, I want to be a part of that plan. Oh, Lord, I want to be a part of the plan of God in my life. How many feel that way this morning or this afternoon? God, I want to be a part of your plan. And I know this is going to be a wide range here of an appeal to come to the altar. But I want to start. If you're here today and you've never repented of your sins, if you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Because that opens a door for a great future in your life. It's the only way to get baptized according to the Bible in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, we got people here that can make that happen. As it's already been said, we got robes, we got towels, we got everything you need to make that happen. Because baptism in Jesus' name is a part of God's plan for your life. If you've never repented, that's a part of God's plan for your life. If you never had the Holy Ghost, that's a part of God's plan for your life. That's why we call it the plan of salvation. It's God's plan for every individual. If you're also here today and you say, Brother Cheryl, I got the Holy Ghost, I've been baptized, I got the Spirit of God, but I feel like the devil is trying to rob my future. I feel like God had some things before me, but I feel like the devil, he's trying to steal and pull away and pull the rug out from under me. But if you're saying God's got a future for me, I want to come and put myself in the hand of God and say, God, if you got a plan for me, I want your plan to be fulfilled in my life. I want your plan to be manifest in my life. And as we lift our hands to the Lord across this sanctuary here today, if you're here this afternoon and you say, Brother Cheryl, I've heard the word of the Lord today and I felt the Spirit of God and I feel like God is talking to me and I feel like God is letting me know that God still has a future for me. God still has a plan for me and God still has a purpose for me and I want that plan to be fulfilled in my life and I submit to the will and the purpose and God's plan. And by doing that, I want to slip out of my seat and I want to come up to that altar and I want to lift my hands to God and say, God, here I am one more time saying, I'm putting myself in your hand. I'm putting myself in your plan. Whatever you want to do in my life, I'm submitting myself to the will and the purpose and the plan of God. Come on, this front is open to everybody here today. In particular, if there's anybody here that needs the Holy Ghost, you need God to deliver you. You need God to heal you. You need God to work for you. Come on, this altar, this front is open to anybody here today. If you want to look over somebody close to you, friend or family member, say, come on, let's take my hand. Let's go pray together. Would you go pray with me? Come on, this is what church is for. This is the most important point of this service.